engage the enemy of your mind. Wake up! Engage the enemy of your mind with the truth.
Welcome to Smell the Truth Radio, brought to you by smellthetruth.com. With your host, Dr. David Berman, and now your co-host, the coach, Rob Lotito.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to another program at Smell the Truth Radio, smellthetruth.com. I am the coach with you today. Dr. David Berman will be joining us in a moment in a sermon that he gave at Christian Life Fellowship back a few weeks ago, talking to the audience about being weary. And we are concerned about our fellow Christian Americans out there today who feel like we're getting so much thrown at us that we don't know which way to turn sometimes. With the ruling on the Supreme Court for gay marriage, now we're finding out that Planned Parenthood is probably exactly what we thought they were. So we're trying to give you this information. And Pastor David Berman did a sermon about being weary and fighting on through. Before we introduce that, I want to just tell you how to get in touch with us. You can find us at smellthetruth.com, and under Radio tab, you will find not only this show, but other shows that we've done in the past. Email Dr. David Berman at drdave@clfchurch.com. That's drdave at clfchurch.com. On Twitter, you can follow us at Smell Truth. On Facebook, we are Smell the Truth Radio. You can write us at 116 Main Street in Marlborough, New Hampshire at 03455. Again, I am Rob Lotito, co-host of Smell the Truth Radio, and now Dr. David Berman on a sermon that he did, Are We Weary?
But how many of you know when you know something may happen and then it actually does happen, it can be shocking? You know what I'm saying? When the reality comes in and kicks in that the nation really has gone that far away from the scriptures, when there's been really almost a sort of a coup, if you will, takeover, where the Constitution has been completely thrown out. And we're faced with these realities, and we're faced with the very same thing that the early church was faced with. And I quoted this to you last week. I want to do it again. Tacitus was the Roman historian in about 120, 125 AD, wrote the history, was one of the writers of the history for the Romans, and he wrote about the early Christians and what the Christians were called. And I just found it so amazing that the government at the time and the people referring to the Christians called them, ready, if you weren't here last week, called them the haters of mankind. Called the Christians the haters of mankind. And don't you find that to be very interesting? That's what we're being called now. Mm-hmm. Haters. And the problem comes in because what was it that the early church was doing? Well, it was really what they were not doing that really upset them. They were not participating in the worship of ancestors, the worship of the emperor, the pagan practices. They were not partaking in that. And they refused to do things like swear, you know, allegiance to, you know, the Caesar's God and all this kind of craziness, the emperor's God and all this stuff. And some of the practices that were happening during the Roman Empire times were, you know, pretty much like they are today. There was a rampant sexual immorality, rampant homosexuality, demonic sorts of things that were happening. And because the Christians would not partake in these things and said, no, these are not of God, then automatically they were called the haters. So it's very interesting, I think, because that's kind of what's happening now. We're saying, I'm sorry, this is not of God. Now, I want to make it very clear. I've had conversations with many people who refer to themselves as homosexual. I've never screamed at anybody or anything like that. We've had conversations and explained to them why. When they asked me, why does the scripture say about this? And I said, well, the scripture is very clear about it, that God made Adam and Eve, and he made man, male for female, female and male. Now, you know, inside, I have to be honest with you, I'm saying to myself, I don't know why I have to explain this to people. I don't really get that because it's sort of obvious. But I've taken the time many times. I had a person come see me a long time ago, nobody you know, doesn't go to church here, just not a Christian, but came to see me one time, said, I need to talk to you. I'm struggling with this sort of situation, and sat down with me and had a conversation with me. And I was extremely compassionate, said, I understand that you're having difficulties with this, like people have difficulties with other sin. But we can't call something that is sin not sin. So because this is such a, you know, absolutely no gray area in the Bible. There is no gray area. There's no discussion scripturally on this. It cannot be any clearer. As I read the scriptures to you a few weeks ago concerning when they first passed this enacted the, you know, the edict from on high. Because of that, there has definitely been a line drawn in the sand as to whether you're going to believe the word of God or not, and so you're going to either be on one side or the other. Now, it's unfortunate because we don't really want to be on one side or the other in life in general, do we? We want to sort of, as humans, kind of get along with everybody, right? For me, we don't wake up in the morning and say, I just want to have conflict today. I want to argue with people. I mean, it's not, I may appear that I would like that because of how strong I preach, but I don't. I don't enjoy that. But when you come into a time like this, where, and I'm not talking about being paranoid. Don't be paranoid. When I say there's going to be persecution, I don't think much of it's going to come from regular average people, but more, although it will eventually, but more from the governmental things and those who are in power, those who are interested in forcing their will upon us. The average everyday person probably doesn't want to be involved with anything. You know, I just want to go about my business, not bother anybody. But there will be more. And when I was thinking about this, I thought I should talk to you today about the importance of not becoming weary. Because it's easy to become weary in any situation where you find yourself at a disadvantage, right? So whether you've gone through an emotional situation or whether you've been attacked personally or physically or emotionally or your character attacked or whether you see your nation crumbling morally like we see, it's easy to become weary, right? I was talking to someone the other night and we were having this conversation and the guy said to me, good brother, he said, you know, sometimes I just go like this, like, block my ears and just, I can't listen to this stuff anymore. It seems to be overwhelming. And so we could become weary and cynical and say that somehow it's all over, but I want to assure you that it's not all over. If you got the Holy Ghost in you, you are alive. If you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you have power. You have power to overcome. You have power to make an effect on people's lives by giving them the truth, by preaching the gospel, by going out of your way to love people. This is no different than it was in the early church time when they were involved and steeped in all kinds of paganism, all kinds of stuff. And did the pastors say to them, did the apostles say to them, hey, you know, it's going to be too tough for you. Don't preach the gospel. No, do not be weary in well-doing. I see opportunities. I see people talking to me and asking me questions because of these recent events. So, where there may be some Christian folks that say, okay, it's all over, you know, all hell's broken loose, let's all kind of gather together in our little church building and let's kind of, you know, focus in together and not think about anything else but surviving and fortress mentality. Let me tell you, I'm here to tell you this. That is not my mentality. My mentality is this: go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Do not give up.
You are listening to Dr. David Berman talking about, are you weary as a Christian soldier? We'll have more of Dr. David Berman right after this.
We are living in troubled times for young people. With a 35% out-of-wedlock birth rate for whites, 52% for Hispanics, and an even higher rate of 72% for African Americans, there is certainly a fatherless crisis in America. Statistics show incarceration rates for young men who grow up in homes without fathers are twice as likely to end up in jail as those who come from traditional two-parent families. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. Children with fatherless homes are 15 times more likely to have behavioral disorders. Girls are 7 times more likely to become teenage mothers. Isn't it time to go back to the founding principles of this once great nation? Isn't it time to stop kicking against God's obvious wisdom found in the Bible and raise families as God intended? The evidence is overwhelming. Fatherlessness is destroying our nation. Come back to the Bible. Find a Bible-preaching, believing church. Come back to what works. It's time for men to be responsible and to lead their families to Jesus. This message is brought to you by SmellTheTruth.com.
Today's liberal logic moment. This liberal logic moment brought to you by SmellTheTruth.com.
Pastor, could you explain to me a little bit? It's kind of a little bit of a serious LibLogic moment. So could you explain to me and the audience why or how the numbers work out on minority abortions in our country?
Well, for our LibLogic moment, I think the most important thing to understand is that particularly the white progressives are putting one over on black people in this country and have been doing so for years and years. The statistics are this, that blacks make up 13.2% of the population. That's the 2010 census.
Okay.
It stayed about the same. Mm-hmm. And 42.4% of all abortions are black children being murdered in the womb. So you've got 13.2% of the population and 42.4% of blacks are being killed by abortion. So the liberal logic is this. Oh, we're the white liberals. We're here. We care about black people. It's the conservatives that don't like you, black people. We white liberals, we love you. We think the most of you. We want to help you. While they're murdering 42.4% of the black population being killed, that is, the population of growth is being killed by the white liberals in Planned Parenthood, which locates most of its outlets of murder in the inner city where blacks are. So wake up and smell the truth, man. It's nonsense. The white liberals, the progressives, are the ones who are your enemies, not us conservatives who want to stop the wholesale slaughter of all children, including the 42.4% of black babies that are murdered every year by the establishment of white liberal progressives. Oh, by the way, who keep getting your vote. And if you're black and listening to me, I beg you to reconsider your vote. And I'm not talking about voting for Republicans or Democrats. I'm talking about voting for people who are pro-life and conservative rather than these liberals who are murdering 42.4% of the population.
SmellTheTruth.com.
And now we return to Dr. David Berman's sermon, Are You Weary?
We have all kinds of references in the Bible to people being weary, tired, to being betrayed. And I will tell you, there's no doubt about it, that when the politicians put their hand on the Bible and they raise their right hand and they say, I do solemnly swear to defend the Constitution from all enemies, both foreign and domestic, and then they become the very enemies that they said they were swearing to protect against. There's no doubt about it. We have been betrayed. They have betrayed us. The government has betrayed us. The bureaucracy, the senators, the congressmen, the president, the Supreme Court, state houses, governors, mayors. Certainly not every person in government is evil. I'm not suggesting that. But I think it's quite clear that most of those in power have betrayed us. And so we can become wary, cynical, and say it's all over. Somehow God's not in control of anything. But I don't want to leave you with that impression at all. There are opportunities that come up to preach the gospel when the world is crumbling. Because people will begin to see that that which the world offers does not bring you ultimate happiness, does not bring you peace in your life, will not bring you eternal life. When it all fails, when their gods come crashing down, when their false saviors turn out to be false saviors, who will be there? If not the church, who? Reading in 2 Samuel 15:2. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, Of what city art thou? And he said, Thy servant is of one of thy tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said moreover, Oh, that I were made judge of the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would give him justice. This is the time in which Absalom, the son of David, was plotting for the overthrowing of David as king to take over the kingdom himself. Now, what kind of betrayal is the worst kind of betrayal? Well, we have all kinds we can list, right? But would you agree with me that when a family member betrays you, it's pretty awful? If you're betrayed by a husband or a wife, it can rip your guts out. Your son or your daughter betray you. This is one of the worst types of emotional betrayal that you can possibly have. And you will react in all kinds of ways, right? Because when you've been ripped from inside, you're like in an ocean with no life preserver, and you're just trying somehow to keep your head above water, so you'll grasp for anything to fill you inside, to help you, to somehow make you sustain you when you are betrayed, particularly by someone close to a family member. Now, I'm not in any way diminishing the relationship of a father and a daughter, but I want you to understand in these times, particularly, the father and son was a very, very strong bond in a different way. It's not that men didn't love their daughters, but it was a different kind of bond because in this time, the son would be really representative of the authority of the father and would be extremely important to show honor to father and his son particularly. And to have your son do what Absalom did was a betrayal. Really of the worst kind. We continue in verse 5. And it was so that when any man came nigh unto him and bowed down to him, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. In other words, when it came to him, as they began to see, Absalom was stepping into the place of judgment. And it's important because in those days, when you had a dispute, you would go to the king, when it was a real dispute, not some little thing, and the king would make a judgment. And Absalom usurped the authority of David and came and decided, I'm going to make the judgments. And so they began to see him as he began to turn their hearts towards him as the one who makes the righteous judgments. So they would come and they bow before him instead of bowing before the king and asking for a judgment on something. And so Absalom takes over the authority of David in rebellion, reveals his heart of self-exaltation and rebellion. And then in verse 6... And on this matter did Absalom to all of Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. He stole their hearts, means he stole their loyalty. Now let me explain to you as well that when you are in a position of authority and you have earned people's loyalty, it takes a long time to do that, right? If I came in here today and was your pastor and I said to you, I have a meeting on Wednesday, September 9th, and I'd like you to come to that, and you didn't know me, you might come, maybe, you might not. You might be a little curious. But because you know me for all these years and you've seen my ministry to you, just as Paul said to his people he's ministering to, and I say to you something, it has more power, right? Okay. So Absalom, so David's, you know, he's earned the respect by his mighty fighting of the Philistines. He has earned the respect of the people by God's anointing on his life, and he's the king, and he's the man in charge, and his own son steals the heart and loyalty of many of the men of Israel. In verse 7, it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode in Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again indeed in Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. And the king said to him, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. So Absalom comes in. He says, I want to go to this place. If I bid you to allow me to do that. He says, okay, go pay your vow. He lies to his father, and he goes with his heart looking to betray his father. And it says, in verse 9, the king said, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. Verse 10, but Absalom sent spies throughout the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. So there's this conspiracy with his co-conspirators. And so he's sowing this discord to betray his father. You see, we as the American people and as Christian people are not the first ones in history to be betrayed. History is filled with betrayal. It says here in verse 11, and with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. So the conspiracy is strong. It's increasing. Absalom sends for the counselor of David to join him. We know from the 31st verse of this chapter that he joined in the rebellion against David. There came a messenger to David in verse 13 saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. Now, we read these things. Okay, we'll read it. But can you just get your mind and your heart there for a moment? David's there. He doesn't know anything's going on. Now, there's probably another sermon in that, right? He didn't see what was happening. Maybe we don't know whether David was paying attention at that time or not. You'd think he would have had some idea because the conspiracy was so wide. But can you imagine a moment in which Absalom is, it's said to him by his David's men, it says, Absalom has turned the hearts of the people against you. The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. David realizes at that moment, not only has he been betrayed by his son, but been betrayed by so many in their co-conspiracy and rebellion. And at that moment, David has to be feeling tremendous emotional pain. Would you agree with that? He has to be. Your own son. David writes a psalm, Psalm 3. When he fled from Absalom, he wrote this psalm. I'll read it to you in Psalm 3. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there will be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me and the glory and the lifter of mine head. I cried unto the Lord my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against round about me. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. This is one of the most amazing psalms if you understand what he is saying in the context of why he's writing it. He's in a place of betrayal. He's been betrayed, and he is running from Absalom. The men that were loyal to him are no longer loyal to him, some of the men. And he's in this position in which he feels like it's all over, and he could all do all kinds of things emotionally, but instead, what does he do? He turns his heart to the one who gave him the authority in the first place. And I submit to you, I want to make myself very clear. I am not suggesting in any way, shape, manner, or form that the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution is somehow on par with God's Word. It is not. It's a man's document. But I will submit to you that history would bear witness that at least God has blessed this land. That at least we know that there was a Christian influence here, and that one of the greatest missionary movements of all history came out of the land of America to the world. With missionaries being sent all over the world and the gospel being preached all over the world. And we've been betrayed. But if we turn our hearts towards natural things, towards politics, looking for the next presidential savior to come. Now, I'm not suggesting we shouldn't vote and be involved with these things. I'm not suggesting that. But our hearts are not there. If we turn our hearts towards money, land, business, a woman, a man, whoever, then we will falter. Because when the chips are down and you've been betrayed and you are done and you're tired and you're weary and you are running from the enemy because you can't fight at that particular moment, if you turn to anything but God, you will falter. Our hope is in the name of the Lord.
You have just listened to part one of Dr. David Berman's sermon on Are You Weary? We are concerned at Smell the Truth Radio about our Christian brothers and sisters out there. And we want you to be educated, and we want you to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ today. For more information, you could email Dr. David Berman at drdave@clfchurch.com. Follow us at Smell Truth on Twitter and at Facebook, Smell the Truth Radio. You are listening to Smell the Truth Radio. If you need to write us, 116 Main Street is our address in Marlborough, New Hampshire. That's 116 Main Street, Marlborough, New Hampshire, 03455. This is the coach for Dr. David Berman saying, we'll see you next time here on Smell the Truth Radio. God bless.
SmellTheTruth.com